Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. It is a Washington Capitals game day, and you can hear it right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Puck drop tonight, 7 p.m. to take on the Canes. And joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning hot seat, the voice of God here on 910 The Fan, and a diehard Canes fan, Zach McHugh. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, Wad, what's happening, buddy? We call him Caniacs.
So I talked to Caps Canes almost all show long on Saturday morning right here on 910 AM and in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, and the caller seemed to agree with me that the Caps are getting outskated in this game. How the heck did this Carolina team finish with only 99 points in the regular season?
Oh, I don't know. We had injuries. We had trades. And, you know, down the stretch, it was a little bit weird. You know, locker rooms are always funny when before you get to the deadline, is because you have a sense that guys are going to move around. This isn't the final group. But, you know, we struggled on the power play all year. Freddie was out, so we didn't have consistent goaltending. I mean, Pyotr Kochetkov was great. He won a lot of games for us just because of our style of play. But we could never put together those 10-game runs, and it was always like win one, lose two. We were bad on the road. So all of that combined, you know, didn't lead to just a great season as far as points, but you know, we ended up second in the Metro, and it was a tough year for the Metro in general. But yeah. You know, we got right towards the end of the season. Once we got that Mikko Rantanen stuff figured out, we brought in Stankoven and the group solidified. Freddie was back healthy, and you know, knock on wood, he stays that way. And you know, he had some other like role players deeper in the lineup that really solidified things. And you know, everybody's buying into Rod's system, which is just forecheck him to death.
Yeah, and it is a pivotal game four tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop right here on 910 The Fan. Caps at the Canes from Raleigh. And Zach, you know, I wonder what your take is on this Washington Capitals season. I mean, when the season started, I thought it was going to be all about Alex Ovechkin's goal record and not really about the team's success, and instead we got both in the same season.
Yeah, so a couple of key off-season moves for you guys that I didn't really think would go on to mean much, because I didn't have the Caps really making the top three in the Metro after the season the Rangers had. And, you know, what's Pittsburgh going to do? Their window's closing, too. And then you guys have your aging stars, you know, with Carlson and Ovechkin. I thought it was going to be, yeah, let's just feed Ovechkin the puck and get him the record. And it was that. But Pierre-Luc Dubois coming in to be your second-line center and buying into a team concept was huge. I mean, he's been in different rooms, and it didn't work out so much. But, you know, Carberry got him to believe. And also Chychrun. I'm forgetting Chychrun. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. Roy, for you guys, on the back end was just, you know, he goes unsung. He's one of those unsung guys, and you need those kind of guys. But I watch him because I've watched a lot of Caps games just because I get monumental because we're in the region. And I'm like, there he is again, number three. Like, he's he's just an unsung hero for you guys in the back end, and you need that too. So I think those were just key acquisitions, and so you have a really good mix of veteran leadership and skill also with these young guys that come in and skate. And obviously, Wilson is just a one of a kind.
Absolutely, and they're going to need him to continue to be the enforcer, but also, you know, maybe do something on the offensive end. Who do you think has been the best player on the ice? Has it been Sebastian Aho through the first three games here?
On either team?
Yeah.
Not Aho. For us, it's really just, you know, you're getting contributions up and down the lineup, which you need. Aho will pop off eventually, I think, in this series. Maybe tonight. I don't know. It depends who they match him up with. I think, you know, you got to look at guys like Martinook for the Canes, and I think really Freddie, because I think all of Canes Nation is feeling pretty crappy right now if Freddie doesn't make that breakaway save on Wilson in the first 30 minutes or 30 seconds of the game. That was the biggest save of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and when you look at this series, I mean, game one, I felt like the Canes dominated, but the Capitals had that lead. Things changed all of a sudden. Canes, you know, go into game two with all the confidence and the momentum. And once again, I thought they outskated the Capitals, but the Caps got, you know, that big goal to give them the advantage. And then game three was all Canes. To me, this Capitals team is not maybe capable of making up a more than one goal deficit. Like, two goals might be too much if the Canes could take a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, there is. I've been reading that. You know, if the Caps go down one, when they have to chase the game, they're like, oh, F this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that attitude of like, oh, well, we'll get them next time. I'm tired or whatever. And they don't want to, you know, ball out and try and come back. The Canes are kind of the same way. They need to dictate their game, and it's hard for them to chase. So it's weird. That's why the save was so big on Wilson. And, you know, it really was sort of a toss-up. Thompson was great. Freddie was great. And it was kind of just a lot of people on social media are saying this Canes-Caps series is really boring. Well, sometimes great hockey is boring when it's, you know, a really good matchup. And it was just that for the first half of the game in Game 3. But then Svechnikov broke through. And he's such an X factor. That's why the Caps are always going after him. If you watch after the whistle, I mean, they just won't leave that kid alone. But, yeah, I think first goal is huge just in any game, whether it's playoffs or regular season. And we'll see who's chasing tonight. But I think overall team speed, the Canes have the advantage there. And you can really see sort of the toll of the season with Ovi and Carlson especially.
Zach, what was your philosophy growing up playing hockey in terms of, you know, all the talk about the Canes has been, well, they just get as many shots on net as possible. From anywhere on the ice, just keep pouring them on net. Eventually, you'll get some puck luck. And it feels like any time I watch the Canes, they outshoot their opponent every night.
Yeah, I've never heard of, you know, man-on-man defense. That's you really that's a special way of playing, and it takes a lot of focus, and you just have to skate your butt off. So that was never a thing growing up. Growing up, I mean, when you're younger, it's just like, get it to the best kid. He winds up and gets some momentum and skates through everybody, and he scores. Mm-hmm. But when you get into, you know, more sophisticated systems and in college and stuff like that, you know, you have different ways to play. The Canes is a certain, you know, strong forecheck, try and force turnovers, possess the puck along the rails, cycle and get it up high, and send everything to the net. And that's frustrating for a lot of, especially nouveau Canes fans is what I call them, because it's not just get it to the stars and let them dangle and score. The Canes really have to get people in front of the net because they don't get to the middle of the ice individually. They work the outsides and get it up high and just shoot, shoot, shoot. It is a unique style, but and some teams are better at having different ways to go, and depending on the matchup, they change how they do it, but we don't. It's, you know what you're going to get. We're going to just be a buzzsaw, and we're going to be on you, try and force turnovers and get it to the points for shots.
Yeah, I mean, just feels like the Caps got to get that first goal tonight to get some momentum. Zach, has anybody said that Rod Brandamore kind of looks like Zach McHugh.
He's an ugly man. He's got a big beak on him. Yeah.
I didn't mean it like that.
No.
I think it's the jawline. You guys have a similar jawline.
No, that's fine. I was wearing my Brindy shirt yesterday. We went out to Windy Hill all day, and I was all puffed up wearing my Brindy shirt. I have actually sewn that shirt because I've had some rips. So I've had it for a long time. I only break it out in big games, and you know game threes are pivotal. So
was he a Canes legend?
Canes legend. He was the captain for the Stanley Cup champ team in 06.
Wow.
And, you know, that was toward the end of his career. But he's also a legend for knocking out Eric Lindros in the locker room. We're not supposed to talk about that stuff, especially on the air. But, yeah, he dropped him.
I've heard from those who were there. It's going to be a good one tonight. What are you predicting? Can the Caps steal one in Raleigh?
They certainly can, you know, especially if they get on the board first. It's going to be tough for them because, obviously, we're putting the stall line on Wilson, who is amazing. But, you know, all it takes is one play where he leaves his feet on that check, and it's a penalty all day, and it doesn't get called. But, you know, we've neutralized Wilson with the stall line, and so Aho will probably be, depending on where they, if they split up Strome or take Ovi off the Strome line, I think Ovi is really slowing down Strome. So I don't know if Ovi comes down in the lineup. That it's a tough thing to do because it's Ovi, and maybe just the run of breaking Gretzky's goal scoring record has, you know, zapped the team. But he's clearly not skating. He's last in the zone and not doing much on offense. And you know, I know you guys love him, but I think he is a drag. So if you want to be successful, you're going to have to juggle the lines a little bit more. And it's all about last change, too. So that's just going to be a game inside the game all night. And we'll see what Carberry does, separating Strome if he does with Ovi and putting Ovi, giving him less five-on-five ice time and then maybe just putting him out there on the power play. I think that's what the Caps are going to have to do to keep up with Carolina tonight.
Yeah, he's got to pick and choose, and it's going to be tough for Carberry to make that decision with the great one, you know, Alex Ovechkin, the great eight. But he did that decision in game two when it came down to the wire. He went defensive rather than having Ovechkin, and they're going to need that. Tough decision again tonight. Puck drop around 7 p.m. right here on 910 The Fan. Zach, thanks so much, man. I know you'll be watching.
Oh, yeah. Anytime, brother.
Yep, sounds good. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on by, grab a beer, and check out the show. We are live and local Mondays from 12 to 3 p.m. here at Capital Ale House here in Innsbruck. It's the return of Burger Night, back like it never left. Mondays from 3 p.m. to midnight, get a burger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. Joining us right now on the Adeed Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for a little crosstalk, it's Michael Phillips. What's going on, MP?
Just all across the city. I was out even further west than you a little while ago at the Have Fun Go Putt Golf Tournament.
Absolutely. Anytime we get Michael Phillips on, it's time for Crosstalk on AWOD Radio.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Commanders rookie minicamp, Gabe Taylor, one of the nice, cool stories. I think all eyes are on Trey Amos. But there's been a lot of videos of Jaden Daniels working out and throwing footballs, popping up on social media. Michael, feels like he looks bigger and stronger. Are you getting the same thing, or am I just being too much of a homer here and my guy Jaden bulking up?
He's putting in the work for sure. I love seeing him put in the work. Love seeing him grow this offseason. Can I throw in another name from rookie minicamp? Zach Ertz, not a rookie, was showing up, was working with the guys on the field. I just took that as such a cool sign, Adam. Like, he doesn't need to be there. He's an NFL vet, but he's showing up, giving the rookies his support, welcoming them into that team environment. I just thought that was really, really cool. But yeah, to the Jaden point, man, he looks good. He certainly looks like he's taking this offseason seriously, and he needs to, because they're coming for him when this season starts. He is not an underdog story anymore. You're seeing these rankings come out. He's what, top five quarterback in the NFL, top three quarterback in the NFL. The veterans are not going to take kindly to seeing a guy after his rookie season ranked that high. They're coming for him.
Michael, the schedule will be released on Wednesday. The question of the day on the Richmond Commander was, what do you want to see when the Commander's schedule gets revealed on Wednesday? I don't want them to go to Spain. It seems like it's the worst-kept secret. They will be going to Spain to play the Dolphins in Madrid. And the other thing I want is no more than four primetime games, and I want the damn Dallas Cowboys Week 18 Northwest Stadium with maybe everything on the line. Those are what I want to see get revealed on Wednesday.
Well, I know for a fact you're not getting held to four primetime games. I mean, everybody wants these guys, right? So you just look at, you know, everybody who's got primetime inventory to start with. NBC's going to get them once. ESPN's going to get them once. Amazon's going to get them once. You know, everybody's going to get their turn with them in primetime, and probably twice for some of them. I mean, this is a hot team, a hot, you know, young group. Jaden Daniels is a star, so I expect to see a lot of prime time, some 425s, you know, some kickoff times we aren't used to for the people who followed this team for a long time. The Spain rumor, and I talked about this on my show, it's a two-pronged rumor. The first part, that they're going to Spain to play the Dolphins. Yeah, that makes sense. The other part of it was that they're going to play them, go into the bye week, and then play the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving coming out of the bye week. That's the part I don't buy. I don't think Dan Quinn would willingly give up the bye week just to come back and play on the short week on the road in Dallas for Thanksgiving. That feels like, it feels like not an actual bye week at that point. You get back from Spain, you don't get adjusted until Tuesday. Your work week starts Thursday for the next day. That's a two-day bye. I just don't buy that. That's, if the game is on that date, I don't think they're playing Thanksgiving as well.
You know, we were just discussing that as well, and I do think that the NFL will force that week 12 to be the Commanders' bye, because look, so you, and I think we're both agreeing that
the week off of Spain will be the bye. Yes, we agree on that, right? The week after Spain will be the bye.
So you just don't think Thanksgiving will be Washington at Dallas? I kind of think it will be. Michael,
I've got to dig in the archives. I don't believe a team has ever played a Thursday game off of their bye week. I don't think that's happened, like, not just to this team, but like in NFL history. I think the players union would object to that.
I see what you're saying, and you could be right. To me, this is different because it's a Thursday and a Thanksgiving. So it's not like a typical Thursday night football. So I could see that happening. I could also see it being Philadelphia at Dallas, since you get week one primetime, then you also get week 13 as well. But in terms of the primetime games for Washington, you know, Jets had six last year, and that was the most. Are you saying more than six because you're including like 4:25 games as primetime?
No, I'm not. I'm saying six. Six is the contractual maximum. Cowboys always get six. One thing we've seen in recent years is they've given five to teams that they think might be flexed into the primetime slot, one of the final weeks of the year, to preserve that flexibility. So I think five's probably your safest guess number. This is a deep cut, but the year RG3 blew up on the scene, they kept getting flexed. They had actually hit six primetime games before that finale against the Cowboys. And I don't know if you remember that, but essentially NBC had to buy the game away from Fox because the contract said they couldn't have it, even though it was winning in for the NFC East. They actually bought the game off of Fox in exchange for some like other considerations down the line. They don't want to get in that bind with a team that might, and you know, I don't think I'm breaking news to say I think the Eagles will be favored to win the division, which means these guys may be in a winning in position, depending on how the wild card race shakes out. So I think five is probably your most likely number when this thing shakes out. They got other ways to do it too. There's that weird, the Saturday around Christmas where those games don't count as prime time, even though they play them on Saturday night. Wouldn't be surprised to see them in that mix as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when it gets revealed on Wednesday. Michael Phillips with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. J.P. Finley on his show, B. Mitch and Finley, was talking about the report that Trey Hendrickson has not been talking with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
There have been no negotiations recently. We got to keep our eye on that. We've been talking about that pretty much since Radio Row at the Super Bowl. It was, Myles Garrett first, and then all of a sudden, boom, Trey Hendrickson rumored to Washington. Michael, could I interest you in Jadeveon Clowney? To me, that's a guy in the right system with Dan Quinn could have double-digit sacks, and they could afford to pay him.
You can interest me in any of those guys, and Hendrickson, number one on that list. I mean, if they were to land him, is that potentially a two-win swing for this team this year? I don't think it's outrageous to suggest that his impact, his ability to change a game could absolutely result in this team winning two additional games over the course of the year they would have lost without that presence on the defensive edge, right? I think that's the kind of swing you're talking about here. Clowney's maybe a one-game swing guy, right? I don't turn down guys that can win football games with big plays. You name a good edge guy who could benefit from this system and this system's ready for them, I am interested because that's certainly my one concern with this team, but it's a pretty big one right now.
Yeah, I mean, what is your overall take on the NFL player Jadeveon Clowney? We all know how great he was in college. In the NFL, he's bounced around, and to me, that's because of all the hype. He has to get overpaid, and he hasn't been worth the production of what he's being paid, but Washington could take that hit.
Is Laremy Tunsil the comp, right? Is he defensive Laremy Tunsil, right? Like a guy who, you nailed it. Big, big hype out of college, great highlight reel. And we ask ourselves, why has he been on so many teams again? That, like, something's not right here. Something's off here. That's maybe the thing that immediately comes to my mind. But I agree with you. I think there's production there. It's not, he hasn't been on any all-pro teams, I don't think, and that's obviously going to be viewed by some people as a letdown after his collegiate career, but I see production there when I watch him play.
Absolutely, and if Philadelphia is interested, AWOD is interested. You can guarantee that.
That's the truth.
Yeah, Michael, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
All right, take care, dude.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We bring in Hokie Steve Adams, who joins us live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck, and you walked in, you said, if there's a God, the Wizards will get Cooper Flagg. They'll get the number one overall pick.
That's exactly what I said.
And you've been a fan since the Bullets days.
I go way back, man. I go way back to the, mid-70s Bullets and winning the championship in 78 with Elvin Hayes and Dick Motta and the opera and over to the Fat Lady Sings and all that deal, to basically for the last 30 years of just bad basketball.
Yep, in the last 30 years, they've had a number one overall pick, Kwame Brown, yep. Maybe one of the worst of all time, a number one overall pick, John Wall, that never lived up to the expectations of a number one overall pick. Fantastic no. career in Washington, never got us over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Wizards have got to get that one guy, you know, that legendary guy that's going to, you know, obviously 1 year at Duke, but I saw enough at 1 year at Duke to think that what Cooper Flagg could do for the Wizards would be tremendous. And you know, they've got some pieces in place. They just need that guy. And I really think he's that guy.
I think he's the best American prospect maybe in 10 years.
Wow.
It's been Europeans.
That's pretty strong.
Recently. Yeah, Zion Williamson. I think Cooper Flagg's going to be better than Zion. You mentioned
Zion
1 year at Duke.
I mean, Cooper Flagg will play more games in the first year than
Zion
will play in
career.
Three. Yeah.
Cooper Flagg was great in Duke. We've been watching him play since, like, eighth grade.
Right.
That's how big of a prospect he's been. So this could change the fortunes of this franchise. And I'm desperate for Cooper Flagg, but I've been saying I trust Michael Winger and Will Dawkins as long as they get a top three pick. Because the two Rutgers freshmen are great as well.
They're good. And like I said, they've got the 18th pick overall. So, like you said, if they don't, for whatever reason, they got the 14% chance, just like the Utah Jazz and Charlotte. So if they don't get it, then obviously package whatever they get with 18 and get up in that top three.
Yeah. Sounds like you'll be watching tonight, though.
I will be. And then I'll be flipping over watching Caps Canes.
I'll love to hear that. We'll talk Caps Canes in a second here. But we got Hokie Steve, so let's do the Hokies update here on 8WOD Radio. And I think you wanted to start with softball news.
Yeah, it was good, good news. Well, you know, I guess mixed news for the Hokies. They were really hoping to get a chance to win the ACC championship. And they had a 9-2 lead, AWOD, in Friday's game against Clemson and could not hold on. Could not hold on, did not win Friday's semifinal game. So then they were on the fence to host, you know, the top 16 seeds, host in the NCAA softball tournament. They were apparently right at probably 17 because Oregon got that last seed at 16. So the Hokies will go on the road starting Friday down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Shocker, they're going to the SEC. The SEC got 14 teams in the tournament. The ACC a lot better than basketball. They got 9 teams in, but the SEC got 14, and they're down in the Tuscaloosa region. They will take on Belmont at 3:30, and then if they win that one, they'll probably get Alabama again, who they played twice during the regular season down at Tuscaloosa. Beat them once, lost to them once. And Virginia had a good year too. They were 37 and 17. They are heading to Columbia, South Carolina. Well, they will be in the that regional, and they'll take on North Florida at 3:00. So, if you like softball, which I do actually, I kind of enjoy it. The SEC's got 14, and the ACC's got 9. But so these 14 pods, you can lose two, or you don't want to lose two, but you get one loss, and if you win that one, the Hokies are lined up to probably go to Norman, Oklahoma, the defending four-time NCAA champion. So we'll see.
Do you normally follow softball, or is it just when the Hokies are good?
I do. I mean, Pete DeMore's done a really good job at Tech. This is their sixth consecutive year in the tournament. So, I mean, this has been a pretty good team. If you remember back, it goes back, you know, believe it, just 3 years ago, Tech actually hosted. They won their regional. They actually hosted a super regional and got to the final game where they had a chance to go to the College World Series. Did not win. They went to the College World Series about 10, 12 years ago. So Tech has been pretty good at softball for quite some time. So, yeah, I do follow it, actually.
And then Hokies baseball.
Hokies baseball had to – actually, they did not play an ACC game, this ACC league game this weekend. They played Mercer, won both of those. So this is the last weekend of the regular season for ACC baseball. And all 16 teams qualify for the tournament, which will be down starting next week at Durham Bulls Athletic Park down in Durham. So the Hokies got some work to do. They're sitting on the outside again. They're sitting on the outside looking in for the NCAA tournament. They're 11 and 16 overall in the ACC and 29 and 22 overall. Virginia's actually played a lot better to date. They're going. They just swept Miami. Took 2 out of 3 from Georgia Tech. So this weekend, the Hoos go to Blacksburg. Big three-game series starting Thursday at Tech. I'm actually going out there for that game Thursday and Friday. So Hokies got some work to do. If the tournament started today, Tech would be playing Tuesday in like the 12-13 game. Virginia would have a bye into the second round as there is there in the top six.
As we continue our Tech talk with Hokies, Steve, is there any football news you wanted to get to? I mean, we saw Jalen Lane
right.
in the Commanders uniform for the first time over the weekend, and I'm really starting to think he's going to win wide receiver three. I mean, I think he's going to have an opportunity to be the punt returner number one right away, but I keep going back to Todd McShay saying Jalen Lane's going to get unleashed with Jaden Daniels because he just hasn't had an accurate quarterback
yeah,
in his career.
I know. And like I said, I texted you, Tuesday last week, and Pat McAfee is just doing a 10-minute love fest on Jalen Lane. I mean, they were talking about – they kept on showing the same highlights, his touchdowns at Syracuse.
The one against Marshall.
The one against Marshall. His one in the
– the technical director for that show is just hitting loop for every Jalen Lane
highlight.
Seriously,
I mean, I think it was like a 10-minute love fest for Jalen Lane, which, hey, great for him. Great for Virginia Tech. I wish we had him for more than a couple years, and I wish we had a better quarterback to get him the football. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, as you know, I'm a big Ravens fan, but I'm excited to see what Jalen Lane does for the Commanders, and it'll be exciting because, you know, he's got like I said, he's that Swiss Army knife guy, right? Can turn kicks, return punts, you know, throw the football sometimes as well. So looking forward to watching him in the NFL.
Hokie Steve, did you have any friends that were in Blacksburg for Metallica?
I did. Unfortunately, I was not one of them, and now I'm very mad at myself for not going.
You got some FOMO?
I got tons of FOMO. tons of FOMO. Yeah, everybody that I went to, and I'm talking from, you know, 20-somethings to even knocking on mid-60s, they said, incredible, incredible, incredible show. And if you missed it, you know, you missed a great concert because and all three, you know, Pantera, Suicidal Tendencies, and Metallica rocked it hard all night long. And I know they're playing up at FedEx in next weekend or something like that.
Yeah, it's
too.
Not going to be the same.
But it's not going to be the same, exactly. So, hey, the Hokies, Virginia Tech Athletics did a great job not only securing Metallica but then pulling it off. And apparently from everybody that I've talked to, they said it was just a 10-plus on the scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, no, I've heard the same thing. And it's exciting because I think it probably also made the community a ton of money, which is really cool there. Virginia Tech Athletics posted today, ticket packages go on sale this week
right.
for the football team. Where do you think the excitement level's at, 1 through 10 for the fan base? Because I thought last year was like 8 or 9,
last
right?
year was high. Was high.
Should you say 5, maybe?
Maybe a little bit more than that, but it's definitely in that 5.5 to 6.8 range. It's nowhere near what it was, because obviously you lose so much of that, you know, the talent, and let's face it, you know, they had a lot of guys drafted in the NFL, so they did have some talent. Unfortunately, that talent only got to 6-6 during the regular season, but I think, I think we're cautiously optimistic, right? We got drones back, so that helps. But, I think we're, you know, show me Coach Pry what you can do with this team. They've got a tough one in South Carolina to start out down in Atlanta. Then you've got Vanderbilt and before the ACC play starts. But, you know, I'd give it maybe, you know, 6.5.
I hate to say this because I'm rooting for Coach Pry and the Hokies, but what record keeps his job? What record keeps him as safe as the coach in Blacksburg?
You know, somebody asked us to Whit Babcock, you know, and he said something to the effect of, you'll know it. I'm not going to put a number on it. You'll know it if there's improvement. But I would think you've got to be at least a plus one, if not a plus two, which means you're either 7-5 or 8-4. I think, to me, I'd like to see 8-4. I mean, I think
7-5, he's safe.
I think 7-5, you're sitting squarely on the fence because, you know, you've been 6-6 and with all the talent coming back. So, it's going to be very interesting to see, but I think 8-4, I agree. 8-4, he's solid. That's a plus two. You know, the schedule sets itself up after the first couple of games. There's a lot of winnable games on the schedule. You got to go out and do it.
Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. You can join me and Hokie Steve live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck, 833-804-0910. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910TheFan. Let's go to line one. We've got Brian in the West End. And, Brian, my producer tells me you were one of our winners here on 910TheFan that got to see Metallica
nice.
In Blacksburg.
That's right. That's right. I just wanted to give a shout-out to you and 910. That was an epic and iconic experience, and man, they killed it. It was crazy just growing up a Hokie fan. I worked at Tech. My wife went there and as an alumni, and you know, anybody that's ever been to a football game, and obviously Enter Sandman is insane, and just all the national coverage that we got as well. It was a wild experience.
Well, congratulations, Brian. I'm so thankful that you're a listener here on 910 The Fan, and we were able to send you, and sounds like you and your wife had a fantastic time. Why don't you kind of paint us a picture of where you were seated or standing and what it actually looked like for the Metallica concert?
Well, we actually had really good seats. It was really like, I don't know, maybe 25 rows up, and just the whole circular setup of their production was pretty wild. They kept moving the drums all around underneath the underneath the stage, and you know, they were popping up in different little areas so everybody could get a good look at everything. And I just kept joking with my wife. You know, she was like, I only know Enter Sandman. I don't know how much I'm going to like the rest of the show, but I think she enjoyed it more than I did.
That's so awesome, Brian. I really appreciate you chiming in here and thanking us. And we thank you for being a listener. So it sounds like that was one of the best concerts you've ever been to, huh?
Dude, that was awesome. Trust me. So bucket list checked.
That's awesome, Brian. Thanks so much for chiming in, man.
Thank you, man.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And that was an awesome giveaway that we got to give away those tickets, because I know I had friends that were calling me saying, can you get me those tickets?
Yeah, and they were not cheap, trust yeah. me. I mean, when it first hit and some of the prices that I saw, that actually backed a lot of people away initially, and it ended up kind of being on the back end. If you waited, you know, you were taken care of. But, yeah, that was and Stubb, and you know what I'm talking about with Lot 2 is directly behind the south end zone at Virginia Tech Lane Stadium. Apparently, that whole lot had to be shut, and you can get a ton of cars in that lot for football. That whole lot was shut down because they had that many tractor trailers that had to be that had to be in that lot in Lot 2 to put that stage together.
I heard somewhere between 30 and 100.
I heard somewhere like 50 plus, actually. Yeah, so, I mean, Lot 2 is a big lot, as you know, Stubb.
Yeah.
You can probably get, you know, 5,000-ish, I don't know, maybe 25, 3,000 cars in there. And that whole thing was shut down because tractor trailer after tractor trailer. It was like watching going down Laburnum Avenue, watching the 18-wheelers go into RIR. It was just constant tractor, you know, the tour. And they set that stage up. And that stage went from basically one side of the stadium to the other in a complete circle.
So what was the snake pit? Stubb, did you see pictures of that?
Yeah, that was like right basically
in the middle.
I haven't mentioned it. I was there.
Oh, what?
Wow.
What?
Tell us more.
The show.
Tell us more, dude.
You put Brian on line one. Stubb doesn't tell us he was there.
It was genuinely incredible. It was the coolest thing I've ever experienced. Enter Sandman with them, 75,000 people. It was
setting
rocking.
Off a mini earthquake, right? I mean,
too many earthquakes because they teased it at the beginning. It set off an earthquake both times. Not everyone was jumping. I think there was a lot of older people that weren't quite Hokies fans and weren't in the jumping mood, per se, at 11 p.m. But it was genuinely a beautiful event. It was perfect. There was a mosh pit in the pit at the bottom at one point that ran for the entire five-hour show. Perfect product. I could not say more positive things about this.
I feel like you're not a mosh pit guy.
No. Oh, God, no. That would be terrifying. I don't like people touching me.
Where were you watching?
Literally could not be higher. My back was against the wall of the East End at the top.
Oh, wow. That means, hey, AY, that side of the stadium goes five letters deep. So it goes A, double A, triple A, four A, and then five.
Five,
so that's like 26
Q.
rows times five.
I think
five.
I was five. 26 Q.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, if you're up that high against that wall, that might be a different zip code up there.
They call those the nosebleeds.
Yeah,
huh?
They call those the serious nosebleeds.
And that's where we were, me and my dad.
Was it life-changing stuff?
It was a little bit. I'd say that, yeah. Specifically Enter Sandman. I'm like decently familiar with Metallica, but that was just an incredible moment I'll never forget.
Awesome. All right, Stubb, next time don't bury the lead, dude. Come on now.
Yeah, really.
Hokie Steve and AWOD hanging out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Hokie Steve hanging out with us here. We covered the Hokies. We covered Enter Sandman. We covered Metallica. We covered
Stub.
Found
out that Stub went to Enter Sandman. Went to Metallica.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
So let's get into game day here on AWOD Radio. Every day is a game day, and it's a special game day. It's a Caps playoff game day. 7 p.m. puck drop. You'll hear it right here on 910 a.m., 105.1 FM. Feels like a must-win game for the Caps.
Absolutely. I mean, you watched Saturday night's game, right? I mean, they got shut out. Yeah. They got shut out at the Lenovo Center down in Raleigh. And this is the thing I'm worried about. Obviously, Ovechkin hadn't scored, and that's obviously a big deal. The Canes have outshot them like 89-56 in this series.
Yeah.
And we're only in game three.
The thing is, the Canes outshoot everybody.
I know.
Of their philosophy.
But you got to shoot the win. Right. I mean, you got to shoot the score, right?
Yeah. So I think what's frustrating to me is, felt like game one, Caps were outskated by the Canes. They got lucky. They had the lead, and then it flipped, and they lose, right? Game two, they were probably outskated again, but they got the goal and got the win. Game three was like a product of game one and two combined. They are outskated the whole time. They didn't get the goal. Instead, they got shut out, and the Canes kept scoring.
Yeah, and like I said, this game's obviously in Raleigh tonight down at the Lenovo Center. So, to me, you cannot go down to this team 3-1. And then think you're going to beat them three in a row to win the series. I don't think you can do it. You just can't do it.
I like what you said during the break, which is Alex Ovechkin needs to step up.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, Sebastian Aho hadn't scored for the Canes. So
right. I think he's had a couple of assists, though. But they've
done a good job of keeping him, you know, without lighting the lamp.
Yeah.
But Ovi's got to step up.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a crucial member of this team. It's not just he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. It was the end of his career, and he's scoring on power plays. He was scoring on 5-on-5. He was scoring on power plays.
Right.
He was still hitting people. He's still, you know, diving in front of pucks. And, you know, we talked to Canes earlier today with a Canes reporter. It kind of feels like Ovi's slow skating during this series.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, he was rolling coming into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
With obviously, you know.
And he was rolling round one with his first ever playoff overtime game winner.
Yeah, this is a really this is a really tough series for a round two.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a round three series, but it's not. And you know, certainly tonight the Caps have got to find a way to win this one, to go back, come back up to DC and at 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, for Ovi, they got to get him more opportunities to get shots on net that are not just. It feels like he's only getting shots during the power play now. And they decided to make a decision in game two and actually didn't go with Ovechkin late in that game in the line because they wanted more of a defensive look. And it just, I hate to say it, but maybe it is tough for a guy who broke the goal scoring record, who broke his leg this season.
Coming off a super. They're 1-7 on the power play, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, when you got the man up,
they're getting the opportunity. That's the thing.
Canes are 3-8.
Right.
But, you know, Caps are 1-7. So, obviously, you know, this is a huge game tonight for both teams. And certainly, if you're a Caps fan, you want to see them get on the right side of the column.
Yeah, they're going to need everybody to step up. Coming into the series, we said, all right, there needs to be great net mining from Logan Thompson. For the most part, I think he's done that.
Which they've gotten, yeah.
We talked about how they needed to be good in the power play. That hasn't happened. And they need secondary scoring. Guys from outside of the first two lines to provide, you know, light up the lamp, like you said.
And Frederick Anderson is doing a good job for the Canes in goal, too. So.
Yeah.
If it's going to be a good night, I think, for D.C., if we get the number one draft pick.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
And then take it right down to Raleigh, right?
My show tomorrow will be zero prep.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. So this is a big night for D.C. sports. You're right. Trying to get the number one overall pick with the Wizards and the Capitals, this pivotal game four. But you're right. I mean, I don't see them winning this series if they come home down 3-1.
That's a tough team to beat, period. And now you're talking about winning three in a row. That's just tough to do.
Yeah. You know who absolutely needs to step up? It's unfortunate. Is John Carlson.
Yeah.
I mean, man, he was just he's been so great for so long. He was great during the regular season. This postseason has not been great for him. And so, look, this is, I mean, Chychrun as well needs to step up. Man, it's just tough. I don't know, and I talked to them, how did Carolina only get 99 points? They feel like they're the better team than us.
I know.
Right?
I know. I know. And, you know, you look at the other series between Toronto and Florida, too. And I don't know. You know, it's NHL hockey, man.
Yeah.
And it's typically the better team with the hot goalie somehow. And this is why you have eights beating ones in the NHL that you never hardly ever see in the NBA.
We wanted to close out Hokie Steve's segment with a little Baltimore Orioles update. Day off today for the O's.
Day off today. You know, last week started out really bad. Took the collar up in Minneapolis, went over 3 against the Twins. Well, by the way, the Twins have won 8 in a row. And the only other team hotter or as hot as the Minnesota Twins are the St. Louis Cardinals, who the Nats got this weekend. Nats only scored 3 runs in 3 games, right? Yeah. They got 10-0. I know 10-0 loss. The Nats are obviously having struggle hitting the ball. Orioles lost 2 games. They were 5.5 back last week, 7.5 back today. Nats were 6 back last week. Now they're 9. The one shining thing, as I said, I think there's a little bit of light maybe in the tunnel. Sagano is their best pitcher. There's no doubt about it. He's 4-2. He's got a 2.7 ERA. He had another great start Friday night in California. But Dean Kramer had his start last week in Minnesota, went 7 innings, only gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. Cano just blew the game in the 8th inning. Mm-hmm. That's why the Orioles didn't get the 1 win there. And then yesterday they got Zach Eflin off the IL. And after he'd given up a couple runs in the first inning, he shut him down, went 5 innings. Went 5 innings overall and only gave up 2 runs and then shut them out the rest of the way until they turned it over to the bullpen. So the Orioles come in with a little bit of momentum, 2 out of 3. Mount Kessel had a good weekend. Gunnar Henderson had a good weekend. They get Minnesota again back in Baltimore. So the Twins are hot, but the Orioles, you know, have a little bit of a momentum going into this week, and then they got the Nats this weekend.
Home run leaders in Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge with 14. Schwarbaum for the Phillies, he's got 14. Shohei Ohtani has 12. And then James Wood tied for 7th with 10.
Yeah, he's been crushing it for the Nats. So,
yeah, you know, I'd look at Schwarber, though, and I'm like, he should still be a National. It's unfortunate. The Phillies got Trey Turner,
right.
Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, all the Nats that I loved.
Look at one thing, too, interesting. There's a little bit of rumors on the trading block that Freddie Peralta for the Brewers might be looking to move him. The Orioles would be hot for him if they can get him. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's only making $8 million. That's certainly manageable. That's, you know, the Orioles can do that. So if Freddie Peralta gets traded, the Orioles really need to go after him hard because Grayson Rodriguez is still on the DL. Don't know what his situation is. Same thing with Bradish. So they really need to get another starter in there besides Eflin and Sagano and Kramer.
Steve, always appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck, that was Hokie Steve. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.